Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who has come to make peace between us and our Heavenly Father, and to usher in the new era of grace, dear fellow redeemed, it is customary for most people, believers and unbelievers alike, to focus their attention upon the past as well as the future as an old year comes to an end and a new year is about to begin. Well, this past year has been a year, a dawn of a new era, the era of Trump. Like him or not, he's pretty much saturated the airwaves. He's on the news pretty much every day. He's unlike most of the past presidents. His foreign policy is different than most of the presidents. His economic policy has given Americans now a new tax code, the lower rate, first time in 30-some years. He has also seen that unemployment is low during his time, and the stock market is higher than it's ever been in the past. Economic future for America looks pretty bright. But this dawn of a new era of gain and financial prosperity is nothing when compared to the far, far greater, far more encompassing gain and prosperity that is to come. For after 2,000 years of promises, the Messiah is coming to usher in a new era of history, a history without time, an eternity of being with the Lord, our Savior, an eternity of heaven with perfect peace. When that day comes, it'll be not business as usual. All businesses, companies, banks, work, it'll all come to an end. It'll usher in unimaginable horror for all those who were not prepared for his coming, who did not have faith in Jesus Christ. But for those who are prepared and believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, untold mercy, grace, and joy. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I fully prepared? 2,000 years ago, a similar event transpired that changed the history of the world and affected every single life. The first coming of our Savior, born as a baby in Bethlehem. And so this morning we're going to look at two events. We look at the first event, which was the ushering in of a new era of grace, Christ's coming as a baby, and looking forward to the second event, Christ's second coming, when he ushers in a new era of glory. Three questions are asked. The first one is this: when did it and when will it arrive? The answer: at just the right time. And see the first text from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We know when 2018 will arrive. We've been Xing off the days, tearing off the months, and we're going to count down not just the days, but even the hours, the minutes, even the seconds, until January 1st, 2018. The great big ball of lights in Times Square will come down, and the new year has begun. When the dawn of the new era of grace began, it was not according to man's timetable, it was according to God's. The clock already started ticking some 4,000 years earlier when God proclaimed that first gospel promise to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden after they'd fallen into sin. When God said to Satan in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Days, months, years passed, and the Lord then spoke to Abraham, saying in Genesis 22, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." More years passed, and the Lord spoke again in Genesis 49. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, which means peace, comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. More months and years passed as God X'd off on his calendar the days and the months and the years. And the Holy Spirit prophesied the very thoughts of Jesus as he hung upon the cross and was crucified, written from the pen of David in Psalm 22. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. The Lord also, through David, prophesied that this crucified Savior, Messiah, would rise from the dead. Psalm 16. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. More years of the calendar passed by. Pages were torn off. And the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, talks about and prophesies the miraculous birth. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We don't have enough time in this 15 to 20 minute sermon to also read all the different prophecies of Isaiah concerning Jesus' life and his suffering, his death, his resurrection, found in Isaiah 9 and 53 and 61 and 63. So still more years passed, and the time grew ever closer to the birth of the Savior. And the Lord spoke through Malachi. He prophesied, or through Micah, he prophesied, But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And a few more centuries passed, and now the last time the Lord prophesied in the Old Testament, the last prophecy of the Old Testament concerning the coming of his son in Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Then in the fullness of time, when the time was at the right moment in God's timetable, the greatest event in history, the event that shook the world, God became a human being, became man. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then 9 months later, this God-man Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. It was the right time politically. Judah's scepter had been taken away from her. She no longer ruled herself. Rome was in control. It was the right time historically. There was relative peace throughout the world. There were great Roman roads. One language, Greek language. So the gospel could be spread throughout most of the known world at that time. It was at the right time for Jesus to be born. It was the right time spiritually. Most of the Jews had fallen into unbelief and sin through work righteousness. And the Gentiles' so-called wisdom turned out to be foolishness. It was the right time for God to send his son to redeem mankind through his suffering, death, and resurrection. And now today is also the right time for us to proclaim to a world dead in sins that Jesus came once to suffer and die and pay for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. It's the right time for us to proclaim this Savior is coming again. When? At just the right time, according to God's timetable. For over 2,000 years, man has been Xing off days, tearing down monthly calendar pages, waiting for that time as we draw ever closer, day by day by day, to that right time when Jesus will come again to judge mankind and the world and take us to be with him in heavenly glory. When will that era begin? The fullness of time. God's timetable. What will it bring? That's our second question. What did it bring? What will it bring? Answer, peace and prosperity. Let's look at our text again. If you look in your bulletin, Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 5. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. There are many who are really looking forward to the next year and the financial prosperity that they're expecting. But when the Messiah came the first time, there wasn't financial security and prosperity to look forward to, but there were spiritual blessings aplenty. Isaiah tells the people of his day and us, those spiritual blessings were peace and prosperity. Not physical and financial peace and prosperity, but spiritual peace, spiritual prosperity. We know that because we know Luke chapter 2. We hear the angels proclaim to the shepherds that spiritual peace and prosperity, that well-known message of the gospel. And the angels said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This baby had come to bring about peace between us and God the Father. Peace between the Creator and his creatures. He came to restore the paradise that was lost by Adam and Eve. He came to give us the spiritual riches of everlasting life and salvation. He did this by his work, by being placed under the law, living according to the law obediently in his thoughts, words, and actions, and then by his damnation upon the cross, paying for the guilt and punishment of every single one of us, of all mankind, so that our punishment is taken away and our sins are removed forever. The battle with sin, death, Satan, and hell was won once for all by Jesus, and Jesus promises us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Even as we have to face daily tribulations and struggles with Satan, sinful world, our own sinful flesh, we have the word of God that strengthens and gives us the power to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. What riches beyond compare we've been given. The holy, powerful gospel message. Peace. Spiritual wisdom. We have been given mercy, forgiveness, promise of everlasting life, joy. With Christ in our heart and keeping him in our heart with our consistent hearing and reading of the Word of God, 2018 will be a peaceful, spiritually prosperous new year. But there's even more. All those blessings we just heard from, all those that we have now, will pale in comparison to the blessings that we'll receive when Christ comes again. We will then have the glory of holiness, the glory of righteousness, standing face to face, seeing our Savior in all of His splendor, in all of His wonder, in all of His glory. We'll have perfect wisdom. We'll know God even as He knows us. A perfect love for one another. Perfect love for our Savior God. What wonders to eagerly look forward to. How can we be sure we'll be ready for that? We need to be prepared. So our third question is, how do we prepare? Answer, seek the Lord. Let's look at our third text this morning, Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. We prepare for Jesus by seeking Him and His Word, by becoming Christ-sufficient, which is the opposite of self-sufficient. The one who relies upon himself for salvation, looking to his own works, looking to his worship, to his prayers, to his church attendance, to his offerings, to his love of others, is not prepared at all for Christ's coming. In fact, he will find only everlasting death and damnation. For we live not only in an evil world, we have living inside of every single one of us evil, a sinful flesh, a corrupted heart, a life of thoughts, words, and actions that are corrupted because of our sinful self. Relying on self can only lead to eternal destruction. God's demands of perfection cannot be kept by anyone else. We can't even come close to keeping God's commandments as He expects of us, perfectly in everything we think, perfectly in everything we say, and perfectly in everything that we do. The only way to be prepared for our Savior's second coming is the way that John the Baptist prepared the people of his day. He encouraged them, repent and believe the gospel. Look to the Messiah for forgiveness and life. His exact words were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ had come. They now needed to prepare their hearts with repentant faith for the Messiah. Some did. Others didn't. Some pretended to. And they came to John with outward works, and they didn't have any heart of faith. How about you? How about me? How about all of us? Time is running out. Judgment Day could come at any time. Christ's second coming is imminent. He'll come like a thief in the night when we least expect it. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Or are you pretending? No one but you can answer that question for yourself. And no one but you and the Lord will know the answer on Judgment Day. The author of the Hebrews declares, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And the Lord, the prophet Zephaniah, warned the people of his day with these words that apply to us today. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and it hastens quickly. Turn in repentance to the Lord, for he is there to give us freely and fully the forgiveness of all of our sins. Trust in the Lord, for he has revealed himself as our Lord and Savior by his first coming and says, I am coming soon. And then we will be prepared. Prepared for a peaceful and prosperous 2018. But even beyond that, then we'll be prepared for an eternity with Jesus, living in the glories and splendor of heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.